This is a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Around the world, millions of people have sent their DNA to genetic testing companies such as 23andMe and Ancestry.com to get a better idea of who they are.
You are pretty much 50% European.
But for a long time, these genetic tests worked better for white people. If you were of East Asian descent, these companies did not have a big enough data pool to identify your precise ancestry.
Then it says I'm 67% broadly Chinese and Southeast Asian. So that means they couldn't pinpoint where in China.
This created an enormous business opportunity on the other side of the world. China's DNA sequencing market is expected to grow to more than $4 billion by 2023, much faster than the overall global market. So,
test, test.
For today's episode,
today is
in September, me and my producer Yang Yang went to Chengdu, home of the pandas. But sadly, we weren't there to visit the pandas. We were there to visit one of the leading genetic testing companies in China. We visited their lab.
So we're in now like an air-conditioned room with like several metal shelves filled with trays of test tubes of people's saliva.
We spoke to their CEO.
我是周坤, 23andMe的创始人兼CEO.
We also got our own DNA test kits.
I don't have enough saliva.
And learned interesting things about ourselves weeks later.
Okay, I'm nearly 85% Southern Han.
But we didn't stop there.
I'm Dr. Chao Guzhen. I'm a geneticist by training.
In this episode, we look into China's genetic testing market and ask, what do these reports really mean? How accurate are they? What's at stake by giving out your DNA? Essentially, your most personal data. And for better or for worse, how will these genetic tests change our lives? Well, buckle up. We'll be right back.
From South China Morning Post, this is Inside China Tech. Insights into what matters.
Come work for us because we are 996.
Are you okay?
大家好,我是洛天一.
I started Alibaba 1999 in my apartment.
What's your problem? Speed and data. And that's where China comes in.
Here's your host, Zen Su.
On the landing page of 23Mofang, a genetic testing company, three questions feature prominently. Who am I? Where do I come from? What does my future look like? Sounds almost philosophical, right? Genetic testing kits promise to answer these questions and beyond. If you dig deeper on 23Mofang's website, you'll find that they provide almost 200 test items in their reports, including things like ancestry, genetic risks, drug reactions, and even how good of a drinker you are or how well you can cope with stress.
Whether it's in China or in the US, customers are paying to fulfill their curiosity.
This is Zhou Kun.
我是周坤.
He's the founder and CEO of 23Mofang.
23Mofang的创始人兼CEO.
Zhou thinks that DTC, or direct-to-consumer genetic testing, is still at an early stage, where customers simply want to know more about themselves.
The customers are just curious. Why does my face turn red when I drink? Why is my hair curly? What diseases might I have in the future?
Before starting 23Mofang in 2015, Zhou was running a data analysis company in the real estate industry. Seeing the potential of direct-to-consumer biotech, Zhou believed that they could apply the same data mining skills from real estate to genetic testing.
We think that in the future, life will be digitized. And when life is digitized, it can therefore be computed.
I know what you're thinking. This sounds like a Black Mirror episode. But he's not wrong. After all, this is already happening. We are living in a world where data already predicts what we should do next. Netflix tells us what we might like to watch, and Amazon suggests things that we might want to buy.
I've put stir-fry vegetables on your shopping list.
Now, companies like 23Mofang claims to be able to tell us where we're from, how our body is built, and even how likely we are to catch a disease.
When life is computable, there will be an explosion of opportunities and potential in disease prediction, medicine research, or even how we shop.
In 2012, only 300,000 people did genetic tests in the US. By the end of 2018, that number jumped to 26 million. Today, 23Mofang has nearly 500,000 users. That might be a fraction compared to the industry in the US, but Zhou is confident that by 2023, 50 million people in China would have gotten their genes tested. So why are so many people curious about themselves? One of the most popular results from 23Mofang is, of course, ethnicity. Zhou said that many overseas Chinese would buy genetic testing kits from 23Mofang instead of gravitating to leaders like 23andMe.
Because in the past, 23andMe can only tell you that you're Chinese or you're East Asian. And you know what? You're like, bro, look at my face and you think? What I want is the details, right? Like, am I Han or somewhat Hakka or Miao?
Zhou thinks the different takes on ethnicity come from the different history and culture of the two countries.
The US is an immigrant country with only 200 years of history, so customers are satisfied with knowing where they came from merely 200 years ago. China is different. Chinese people have been migrating within China for the past 2,000 years. So for them, they are keen to know their family history dating back to 2 millennia ago.
Which leads to another popular test result of theirs, to find out if you're a descendant of certain historic figures.
So 23Mofang has calculated the Y chromosome DNA haplogroup of Zhao Kuangyin, Liu Bang, Sima Guang, and etc.
These were either the founding emperors or renowned politicians in ancient China. The point here is that 23Mofang claims to tell you if you're possibly the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids of these legendary figures in Chinese history. We're going to come back to this, but first...
Okay, now we're at 23Mofang and we just interviewed the CEO and we visited the lab, and Zhen Su is finally ready to unpack her gene testing package.
Yeah, so we bought one online.
That was my producer Yang Yang and me at 23Mofang's headquarters in Chengdu. To get a better idea of what genetic testing can tell its users, we decided to be the guinea pigs.
Okay, so now is the actual part of the test where you're supposed to spit 2 milliliters of saliva.
After many tries of spitting...
I don't have enough saliva.
I finally met the minimum amount of saliva required and registered my test kit in the app. Since we were already on site, we dropped off our test kits at the lab.
Ta-da! Done. Cool. Awesome. That's the process. So, in 20 days...
About 2 weeks later...
Hello.
Our results arrived just as I was on a break in Singapore.
I think yours is a little bit more spread out. Mine is, I am 80... Okay, I'm nearly 85% Southern Han.
You're more Shanghainese than I am.
Yeah, you can tell we had fun. And it was quite a comprehensive analysis. There's family migration paths and genetic diseases and also the fun stuff. For example, Yang found that she could drink a lot, but she was not good at metabolizing caffeine. For me, I was in the lucky 14% of the population who isn't prone to getting pimples, and apparently have a larger brain volume than most. But we wondered, how seriously can we take these findings? To answer that... We need...
I'm Dr. Chao Guzhen. I'm an assistant professor at the School of Biological Sciences at HKU. I'm a geneticist by training, so my lab works on developmental neurobiology.
So, doctor, can you tell us, hopefully in a language that we could understand, what gene testing really does?
So basically, every person has a set of 3 billion nucleotides in their genome. Right, this bit, you can think about it's like a, each position is one of the four different options, A, T, C, G. And you have like 3 billion letters.
And obviously, none of us has entirely identical 3 billion letters in our DNA because, you know...
You are special, you're the only one, you're the only one like you.
And on average, 1 in 1,000 nucleotides will be different between you and me.
So those are what we call polymorphisms. And those kind of polymorphisms sometimes are associated with specific traits, right? Specific like appearances or predispositions to diseases.
That accounts for less than 2% of our genome. Now, there are mainly two ways to test for DNA. You can either do an extensive test where you sequence your entire DNA, but that's very expensive, easily thousands of US dollars. Most genetic testing companies today don't use this method. Instead,
the other option is to do a kind of a probe-based testing, which is that they will test the specific position of your genome to know whether it's A or T. But they can only test a limited number of positions, and they cannot discover kind of de novo mutations, which means that mutations that are not covered by their current database. Yeah.
So in that case, they just know what they know.
Yeah, exactly. They cannot discover kind of de novo changes. Or, for example, if the type of variation you're carrying is very rare, there's no way they can detect it.
Okay, that was DNA testing 101. Now, let's break it down.
So, I'm about 58% of Northern Han. 58% of Northern
Han. What does that really mean?
Let me see whether I can... Yeah. Here, there are two actually pretty important references they listed.
For each result, 23Morfang provides a list of references to establish the basis of the test.
Basically, what they are doing is that in these references, they sequence the people from northern and southern part of China and then trying to tell whether there are some differences. So they sequenced about 1,700 Han Chinese samples collected from 26 regions. One thing that is interesting is that they didn't take any data from Beijing, Shanghai, things like that.
They likely avoided metropolitan cities because the populations there are likely to be a smattering of people from everywhere in China. In contrast, they tested people in more rural areas, assuming that their families have stayed for generations.
The other thing is that we're not talking about like the migration that happened in the history. So we're only talking about kind of modern Han Chinese in the north and south.
2,000 Chinese.
Exactly, only 2,000 Chinese.
Okay.
So the sampling is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on this, the results of those, I mean, based on those sequencing results, they came up with some differences. And then this is what their basis is. So they're matching your DNA with those tiny differences between the north and south of Chinese people.
So if the test says you're 58% Northern Han,
that means you're carrying about 58% of those polymorphisms, that are characteristic of the Northern Chinese in their database.
Since that study was based only on a few thousand people, Dr. Zheng says that the study is not large enough to discern the differences between Northern and Southern Chinese accurately. At the end of the day, this should really only be taken with a pinch of salt. It's up to you to interpret that data. Next.
So 23Morfang has calculated the Y chromosome DNA haplogroup of Zhao Kuangyin, Liu Bang, Sima Guang, and etc.
Are you possibly a descendant of some Chinese legends? How do they determine the DNA of these people? Take Sima Guang, a celebrated historian and politician from 1,000 years ago. That was based on a study of 11 families with the family name Sima. The researchers sequenced members of these 11 families and identified family-specific variations.
And then they're using that as the basis. They're comparing that with your DNA and then see whether you carry any of those variations, right? Those polymorphisms. If you do...
Congratulations! You've apparently got that elite blood. But how much can you trust that these 11 families are real descendants of Sima Guang? If even one is not related, the data is spoiled. Basically, genetic tests often make assumptions when providing you your results, and you have to buy into those assumptions to accept that these results are accurate.
So what are the more reliable results?
Yeah, to me, I think the most reliable results are some of those genetic traits. For example, like ABO blood type. You don't really need a genetic testing to know that. You can do a blood test, but genetic tests can confirm it, right? So like those are like well-established, no question asked. And then like there is something here, is a telomere length. Telomere is in general related to like longevity.
That was me. I was suddenly very interested.
What I can tell you is that the telomere determines how many times your cell can divide. Right? Okay. So telomere are the ends of the chromosomes.
Every time a cell divides, the telomere gets a little bit shorter. And eventually it wears out and the cells stop dividing.
So if your telomere is longer than others, your cell may be able to divide a bit more, like more rounds than other people. Yeah, which may have something to do with, for example, regeneration, like a wound healing, like a aging process. Yeah, that's something that you can reliably test. Yeah, but there are downside. If the telomere is long, I mean, for example, the cancer cells, they can divide forever.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it's not like you only get good parts, but not the bad part.
They can test for the length of it, but they can't tell you what that means for your life necessarily.
Yeah, because it's very complicated. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the science is complicated, yeah. So here it says like, it's not the longer the better.
But just because you have the natural advantage to live a longer life, how you really live it still matters a lot. For instance, studies show that experiencing chronic pressure can shorten your telomeres.
It's a perfect example showing you how genetic and the environment will kind of factors will interact.
Nature.
Right? Yeah. You may be born with a very long telomere, but if you subject yourself to chronic pressure and then stress, and then maybe get shorter than normal people maybe at the end.
Okay, so if a short telomere and high stress, you're pretty much a goner.
Jokes aside, it's important to remember that not only do most genetic tests look at only a tiny little percentage of our genes, even if we completely sequence our DNA, our DNA does not define us. It's not our fate. Nature and nurture influence each other constantly. Your test results are only a guideline for how to better live your life. Now we only have one question left. Once we give our DNA away, is it still ours?
Okay, that gets to a bit more sensitive question. Like, who owns the data? Like, you send them your DNA. They give you this result, right? You don't really know what it did to your DNA, right? So if you sign the form transferring the rights of your DNA ownership to them, they can do whatever they want. Right? That's part of the catch for 23andMe.
But when you sign up for it, they can take your spit, Stuart, store it for up to 10 years with 23andMe and use it for research.
So 23andMe offering like $99 for a variety of different tests, but you transfer the rights of the ownership of the data to them. So, and then they build this sort of a gigantic database, and then they open that database to pharmaceutical companies, and then they make millions every month. So that's their business model, because towards consumers, they are not making money. For example, like 400 RMB to do all of this for you, they're bleeding money, but they're building their database.
And I do have a recording of where Zan was like reading the agreements, and she was like,
"I didn't even read it.
I didn't even read it. I just agreed."
Yeah, you should. Okay. That's a warning to everyone who wants to take those kind of tests. Definitely read through the agreements.
I hate to admit it, but that's what most of us do, right? We scroll through terms and conditions and casually check the boxes below without even reading them. But when it comes to our DNA, which is basically our biological signature, we really need to fight that too long didn't read kind of impatience.
I mean, DNA is basically your identity. Yeah, from DNA, they can trace you down, yeah. So one thing is like you're, I mean, but it's any sort of trade-off, right? If you want to, you want to do some tests and then knowing what's wrong with you or you want to improve your life, I think this part of you have, I mean, part of the privacy have to be given up, right? For example, like we go on to an airplane. We have to all go through this kind of humiliating kind of security kind of check, but that's part of the price to pay to be on a safe airplane. Yeah, I think how they handle data is really, really important.
Just as tech companies like Apple and Google bear huge responsibilities for user data, the same goes for genetic testing companies.
So the other thing is when you give out your DNA, you're not only revealing your identity, you're revealing the identity of your entire family. Yeah. So for example, if you're like a guy like me, right? So if you give out your DNA, you're basically giving out all the information about all the male persons in your entire family, your uncles, your brothers, your father, your grandfather, like all the males, yeah.
And if you're a woman, they can trace your female family members via mitochondria.
My God, I'm going to write my next dystopian novel on this or something.
And this is definitely valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I think everyone should think about your DNA as your data. It's valuable. It's very valuable. Right. So, for example, right now there's this kind of a push of get a bit of profit back from every Google search, every Amazon kind of shipment, right? So because you're contributing to the data, and then you are making Google search more and more accurate, so you should get a bit of profit back. And I think the same thing for DNA, maybe. Maybe in the future, it's not like you have to pay them to sequence the DNA. They have to pay you to give them DNA.
So after everything, what's the purpose of doing such testing?
It's just to know yourself. Yeah. I think I can give you some examples. People with schizophrenia, right? So mental disorders, and they have complaints from their families. They have complaints from the society, like why don't you kind of live your life as normal people? Maybe by sequencing particular variations in their genomes, they will find out this is actually genetic. So I should not really blame myself. This is because of my DNA. So I think that will come as a relief to a lot of people, right? That's one way of thinking about it. The other way of thinking about it is you definitely want to live your life to the full potential. And then I think knowing your DNA will help you kind of advise a very healthy kind of lifestyle, maybe adjust your behavior a little bit. So make sure you don't get that diabetes very early on. And knowing kind of what kind of exercise you should be doing, either both mental and physical, and that will all help you kind of live a healthy life.
Okay, got it. So here are some takeaways. Number one, not all genetic testing results are equally scientific. Some are more reliable, while others are just scientists having fun. Number two, your genes are not your destiny. See your test results as a guideline. Number three, definitely read the agreements. And lastly, if you're still interested to find out if you're a descendant of Sima Guang.
In theory, all of us are related. Every single person, like male, can all trace back the Y chromosome to one Y chromosome in Africa, right? So how much related is meaningful? I think that's something for the individual to interpret. I mean, if you really have a large heart, you should think every person on the planet is related, right? Because they are.
In that case, Dr. Zhong's suggestion is
just have a big heart. Yeah.
For the record, 23 Mofang does provide the option to destroy your sample after you've done your test. By the way, if you're curious why the number 23 appears in the names of several genetic testing companies, that's because humans have 23 pairs of chromosomes. If you want to see my reaction when Dr. Zheng told us what might be at stake when we gave our DNA away...
which was priceless!
Yeah. Head to the Facebook group Inside China Tech. It's a community group for tech people. Your people. This episode was produced and edited by Yang Yang. Huge thanks to Zhou Kun from 23 Mofang and Dr. Chao Gu Zheng from the University of Hong Kong. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, do rate us on iTunes or subscribe to us on Spotify, Stitcher, and basically anywhere you listen to your podcast. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is @Zensu. And if you want to read more tech stories happening on this side of the world, head to scmp.com/tech. See you in 2 weeks. Bye!